going to start in John chapter 10 for the first reference. This is a topical message. I've given it the title, Born to Die. This is our Communion Sunday. And one of the things I've been doing lately, unless I have, if I come up with an idea from my reading for a communion message, is I go into my theology books and I just read on the subject of redemption in some way. And so, in this case, I went to a book by Millard Erickson. It's called Christian Theology. And I ran across a little section that outlined what Jesus himself thought or said about the atonement ahead of time. So I think you'll find it very interesting and profitable. So we're going to start. First, I'm going to give you a quote from this book. He says, although Jesus did not have a great deal to say about this death during the first part of his ministry, toward the end he began to speak about it quite explicitly and clearly. These teachings were not elicited by chance questions from Jesus' disciples or challenges by his enemies, but were delivered purposely at his own initiative. And so that's the big thing that we want to notice here, is the purposiveness, the purposefulness of the Lord Jesus as he comes to earth, born to die. He came doing good. He came preaching wonderful things. But this is the center. This is the reason he came. He knew his mind. He knew what he was here for. And so he is born to die. And that's the theme we're going to be looking at in the message today. Now, I do have a couple of points, a sort of an outline, but mainly we're just going to work our way through verse after verse that describe these things. So first of all, the first verse is John chapter 10 and verse 36. And here we're going to talk about Christ's mission. Just these first few references speak about Christ's mission. So chapter 10, verse 36, it's in the midst of the Good Shepherd passage and all this. But he says, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? So of course he's challenging the Jews here. But note that phrase, whom the Father sanctified, whom the Father set apart, and then sent into the world. So he is sent by the Father into the world. We have to remember that man has sinned. He has come short of the glory of God. He is incapable of saving himself. There is none righteous, no, not one. And there is only one way that we can attain righteousness, if someone else gives it to us. That's the only way. So the Lord Jesus was sent for that purpose. He is sent, according to John 6:38, to do the Father's will. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So he is on a mission. He is on a purpose. He is going directly for the cross. Then we have another one in John, right at the chapter 3. 3:16 is the most famous verse, but then we have verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So he is sent by the Father. He's sent to do the Father's will. He is sent to save the world. That's why he came. And so that's Christ's mission. The next part of our outline is Christ's own conviction. I want you to notice there's some very interesting passages here. Look at this one. I hadn't really even noticed this before. It was mentioned in this book, but notice this. This is Luke 22, verse 37. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with transgressors. For that which refers to me has its fulfillment. Now, here he's talking, he's instituting, I think, the communion here. What is he quoting in that all caps there is a quotation from the Old Testament. What is he quoting? Isaiah 53, and here it is. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many, and interceded for the transgression. So the Lord Jesus himself linked his death and his ministry with Isaiah 53. Now that to me is, and it really, I've read the whole Bible, so I've read that before. But you're reading, you see that, Old Testament quotation. Do you look it up? Do you think about it? This time is the first time I thought about it. I know that in, let's see, it's Acts chapter 9, where the Ethiopian, where Philip meets the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading in Isaiah 53, and he says, "Tell me, does the prophet speak of himself or of another man?" So Philip gets up and preaches unto him Jesus. Do you know what his authority for preaching Jesus from Isaiah 53 is? Here it is. Luke 22. "The Lord Jesus himself, that which refers to me, has its fulfillment." Isn't that powerful? That was quite amazing to me. Maybe you've noticed it before. I had never noticed it before. And so, and it's interesting, you know, again, we've been told that Jewish people in their synagogue readings skip Isaiah 53. That's how powerful that passage is. Speaks to it, isn't it? It's an amazing. So the Lord Jesus linked his death with Isaiah 53. He saw his death as the reason he came. So Mark 8:31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." Very explicit. This is the reason he came. Matthew 17 is a parallel. "But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." He saw his death as the reason he came, and he knew he would suffer. He's very purposeful about it. Okay, and he calls his death a ransom. So here's two references. These are parallels. So Matthew 20:28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Again, in Mark 10, verse 45, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So that word ransom, very powerful word. Here's Millard Erickson talking about it. He says the word lutron, which is ransom, with its cognates is used nearly 140 times in the Septuagint. So that's the Septuagint is the Greek version of the Old Testament, usually with the thought of deliverance from some sort of bondage in exchange for the payment of compensation or the offering of a substitute, a ransom. So he saw his death as a ransom, as a substitute, as a way to solve the sin problem that man has. That's why he came. And then he has this one where he speaks about this. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." And so he saw his coming, he saw his death as our substitute. And this is the doctrine that we teach, and we look at Isaiah 53. "He laid on him the iniquity of us all." And the idea is that we are born sinners. We cannot pay for our sin. We have a weight or a debt or a load of guilt from our sin and our sinfulness. And there's no way we can get rid of it ourselves. The Bible teaches us this over and over again. And even as we experience in our own lives, we realize we can't get rid of it. So we need somebody to stand in for us. We need a substitute. Jesus says that he is that substitute. He came to lay down his life for his friends. And he saw himself as a sacrifice for sins. And we drive this statement from John 17:19. "For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth." So he sanctifies himself so that they may be sanctified. So what does this mean? Well, here's a comment from Erickson. The verb here is hagiazo, a term common in sacrificial context. C.K. Barrett says, "The language is equally appropriate to the preparation of a priest and the preparation of a sacrifice. It is therefore doubly appropriate to Christ." So the Lord Jesus Christ is sanctified. He's set apart. He's set apart as the priest who is going to administer the sacrifice. He is set apart as the sacrifice itself. And he did it so that they themselves, the believers, may be sanctified. So that we can be set apart. So that we can be holy and enter into the presence of God. He came as our substitute, as the sacrifice for our sins, so that we may enter into the holy place. Alright, we have one more declaration from the Lord Jesus, talking about his own purposefulness, I don't know if purposefulness is a word, purposefulness in coming. He says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So here's what Jesus is saying. His death will give eternal life to the world on one condition. What's that condition? You have to eat the bread. Okay, this is the bread of life discourse. He is using the bread as a metaphor. If you're going to have eternal life, you need Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sin. You need to say, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I can't save myself. And the only way for salvation is Jesus Christ. And I call on Him. I ask Him. I beg Him, please save me. I am the living bread. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. In our Bible study time, we're talking about God's agenda, God's plan in working out towards the kingdom of God and the final resolution of all things. We are on that path if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have believed in Him and repented of our sins and come to Him for salvation. And so Jesus, what's remarkable to me about all these passages, Jesus knew He was on a mission. He knew He was sent by the Father. He knew what that mission was. He was sent to die. He was sent to die as a substitute. He was sent to die to pay the price of our sins. He was sent to become our life giver through His death on the cross. He did this on purpose. Born to die is the title I've given to this. And notice this one last statement. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. Isaiah 50 verse 7. This is the determined Messiah speaking of His purpose in Isaiah 50. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. He had a very hard task ahead of Him. He had to suffer the humiliation of incarnation, of rejection, of crucifixion, but the glory of resurrection and ascension and enthronement at the right hand of God, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. Praise the Lord that He came and that He did what He set out to do. Praise the Lord. That's how we're saved. And He was born to die. That's the reason He came. All right. I'm just going to close with a word of prayer and then we'll have our communion service. Our Father, we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, for all that He has done for us. We pray, Lord, that as we live out this week for You, that we would be worshipers of Jesus Christ, not only here, but in every place that we are during our walk throughout this week. And we pray for Your blessing as we think about our Lord Jesus and what He did for us as we live for Him. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.